it got pretty ridiculous. One such offending book was Roger Lancelin Green's classic work, The Adventures of Robin Hood. Robin Hood. Why Robin Hood? Well, of course, because the central character took from the rich and gave to the poor. Robin Hood was clearly consent and had to go. Of course, in the end, it was a very soft-spoken attorney named Joseph Welch. History has basically forgotten him, but not me, I haven't forgotten him. Who responded to yet another of Senator Joe McCarthy's ill-founded accusations and his bellicose demeanor by quietly saying, and here I quote, "Until this moment, Senator, I think I never really gauged your cruelty or your recklessness." McCarthy appeared astonished, because this was on television. Welch continued, "Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last," end quote. I'd like to think, in my best moments, I'd like to think, I would have had the fortitude and the bearing to handle Joe McCarthy as well as Joseph Welch did. Wouldn't we all? The examples provided by historical examinations of Scopes and McCarthy point out the importance of guarding the open exchange of ideas. Nowhere is this more important than in the academic community. We should continue our tradition of protecting academic freedom precisely because our campus, and every campus for that matter, should be an example to the wider society, an example of a place where a diversity of ideas is valued and where we make every effort to guarantee that differing views will be heard. And that's tough. That can be tough sometimes, because there are people saying things we don't want to hear. But if we don't protect their right, we attack our own. And moreover, I hasten to add that it's perfectly okay for us to differ in our views. We will differ. Hence, we should strive to do so without anger and animosity. Too often, people fail to differ without anger. In my experience, this is particularly so in the academy. Why? I now state unequivocally that I will strive to avoid anger and animosity here when disagreeing with others, and I ask you to commit to doing the same. I'm committed to supporting an academic environment for McMurray College in which we promote and nourish the freedom to explore, discuss, and examine ideas, concepts, proposals, and principles, and do so citing evidence, using reason and logic, to arrive at sound, defensible conclusions. I urge much less opining without evidence, much more explaining with data to support views and conclusions. Lincoln reasoned in that manner, as did Jefferson before him. Yet, when Jefferson and his contemporaries, the founders, defended their views about freedom and liberty, their conceptions focused on political participation. We all know, however, that for them, this participation was limited to a single group, white men. As the great experiment we call the United States began to mature in the 19th century, the American commitment to the idea expressed in Latin as e pluribus unum was repeatedly threatened by ignorance and bigotry. Waves of Asian and European immigrants, millions of freed African American slaves and their offspring, and the growing suffrage movement among American women all serve to challenge our society to actually live up to its expressed ideals. In this process, members of all these groups helped to transform the search for freedom in the United States into a struggle for equality. This transformation, this struggle for equality of access and opportunity, has been one of the defining experiences of the last 7 decades. And education has been central in that struggle. In many ways, the search for equality has represented a redefining of our nation's image of itself, one in which many seated here have participated, and from which others here have benefited. Those Americans who have sought equality and those who have joined them in the search have focused to a significant degree upon access to education as one of the principal means through which the rights, opportunities, and comforts of our society may best be gained. At the same time, education has represented a way to combat the ignorance that leads to denials of equality in the first place. And we all have a role in that. In addition to being a mechanism through which individuals can pursue equality, the academy is a safe home for both the concept of equality and its demonstration. We here, students, faculty, staff, trustees, friends of the college, citizens of Jacksonville, must strive to make certain that McMurray College represents a model for the wider society, a model in which individuals with widely diverse backgrounds and beliefs all have their rights assured and their academic opportunities protected. We must value these rights. By working to protect the academic opportunities of each individual, we succeed in protecting our own rights, and in the process, we confirm our mission as a community of common purpose, a community of reason, a community of learning. Efforts to protect our basic freedoms, to pursue equality as both a social and educational goal, also serve another purpose. They are major contributors to building a genuine sense of community. An overly indulgent emphasis upon individual freedom leads inexorably to selfishness, to discord, and in the end, often to disorder and even dismay. An exclusive focus upon individual rights often serves to inhibit the development of community. We need balance. It's challenging. John Dewey recognized this when he stated that, and here I quote, "Liberty and equality isolated from community life are hopeless abstractions." I think he was right. Both our college and our society must recognize as a prime concern the achievement of the most all-encompassing sense of community. This much-desired feeling of community, which so often seems absent from contemporary society, should ultimately be based upon the very ideals we all hold common as Americans. These include justice, responsibility, participation, diversity, and privacy, as well as freedom and equality. Educational institutions, particularly colleges, and especially our beloved McMurray College, should play a major role in helping to establish this sense of community. The academic community must once again provide an example for the wider society. We must set the standard, a high standard. Doing any less is simply unconscionable. I look forward to working with everyone here at McMurray in the development of a college community that reflects the best possible expression of the great ideals upon which our society has been built. I ask all here to help McMurray College to build both the feeling and the reality of community, a community in which we invest the very best of ourselves, and a community for which we can justifiably feel genuine pride. In order to achieve this feeling of community, we must chart a course toward greater and greater success for McMurray. Our beloved Mac deserves at least as bright a future as it has a distinguished past. So today, we have gathered our McMurray clan to affirm the beginning of a new era, an era of success. And yes, there will be some failures, there's no doubt. And we will learn from them, and we'll press on. Our actions and decisions over the next few weeks, months, and years will determine how bright and how successful that future will be. I join this community to make certain that this storied, distinguished, and extraordinarily special American institution, McMurray College, founded in 1846, charts that course toward a bright and successful future. Success will result only when we put the mission of the institution first, ahead of purely personal preferences, including my own. After all, when Max succeeds, we all succeed. So, I have one question for you. Who's with me in this quest to assure McMurray's success?